Hello, my name's Robert Hunt, and I'm currently the senior tutor of Christ's College, and I'm a member of the University Hardship Committee. And I'm going to talk to you today about the role of the tutor in assessing and solving financial difficulties. So I'll just start up my PowerPoint. So, let's talk about tutors and finance. So the first thing you need to know is who is in charge of finance at your college. It might be you. You might be responsible for solving students' problems. In those colleges, each tutor looks after their own students' problems. Or there might be a financial tutor who looks after everybody's financial problems. That makes it much easier for you. It could be a mix between the two. It might be that individual tutors solve financial problems up to a certain limit, and the financial tutor gets involved for greater financial difficulties. It might be the senior tutor who solves all financial problems, or it could be somebody else entirely. So you need to work out who it is, so that you know how to deal with problems when students come to you. So let's talk about various different things. And of course, the financial difficulties vary hugely depending on students' circumstances, most obviously, whether they're undergraduates or postgraduates and whether they're UK or overseas. So I'm going to start with UK undergraduates. So they get tuition fee loans of 9,250, which precisely matches what their tuition fees are. So that's usually not a problem. They also get a maintenance loan, which is up to £9,706 per annum. It depends on their parents' income. This is for England. It's all slightly different in Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. So if you have a student from one of those administrations, you'll need to work it out differently. And there's also an oddity about clinical medical students. So these are undergraduates doing medicine who graduate at the end of their third year but carry on with the clinical medical course. And for technical reasons, they're still formally speaking undergraduate students. Anyway, they are entitled to the same loans in the fourth year of their course, but in years five and six, they get much smaller loans and an NHS bursary partly offsets that, but it doesn't do it sufficiently. So they can run into financial trouble. The Cambridge Bursary Scheme is for UK undergraduates, and that includes clinical medical students. You get £3,500 as a maximum. It's on a sliding scale, so for household incomes below 25,000, by household incomes, I basically mean their parents' income, they get £3,500. And it reduces as the parents' income grows, such that the Cambridge bursary is completely wiped out when the household income is £62,000 or more. And the Cambridge bursary is a grant, not a loan, so they'll never have to repay it. For students who matriculated in 2020 or earlier, it's all slightly different. So if you get a student for whom that's true, you may need to investigate a bit further and find out whether your college takes part in a special top-up scheme for those students. What about postgraduate students? Well, the key thing to know about postgraduate students is that they might be self-funded, i.e., they might be paying all their costs themselves, or they might be fully funded. Perhaps one of the UK research councils is paying for them. Perhaps the Cambridge Trust is paying for them. Perhaps a doctoral training program is paying. Perhaps some overseas agency, some scholarship awarding body in another country is paying for them. So they might be fully funded. Or quite often they might be somewhere in between, that they've got some grants from, let's say, the Cambridge Trust, and they're making up the shortfall themselves with self-funding. So you need to understand for each postgraduate student that comes to you exactly how they're supposed to be funding themselves. For UK master's students, there's a particular scheme. So they can get loans of £11,836. That's if they're from England. If they're from Wales, Scotland, or Northern Ireland, then it's slightly different. And this applies only to students taking a master's course who are from the UK. Otherwise, there's no government money. So, what do they have to pay with the money that they receive? Well, let's look at Cambridge fees to give you an idea of the challenges. So, let's start with undergraduates. The amount that a home student pays, by home, just mean UK. Well, as I said earlier, their fees are 9,250, and that's exactly covered by the government loan. If they're an overseas student, however, the costs are a lot more. The fees might be 23,340. That's the smallest they might be. Could well be more than that. It depends on what subject they're studying. And they also have to pay a college fee. That varies from college to college, but it's typically around £10,000. And then on top of that, whether they're home or overseas, they need to find maintenance of about £11,000. So for a home student, the idea is that the fees are covered by the tuition fee loan and the maintenance costs are covered by the maintenance loan plus the Cambridge bursary. And that's all supposed to work out nicely. For overseas students, you can see that the total liability we're talking about is a minimum of £44,000 per annum. And that really is a minimum. Just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, the maximum overseas fees for an undergraduate student are £61,000 per annum. That's for overseas medical students. Plus the college fee of 10,000, plus maintenance of 11,000. So we're talking about more than £80,000 per annum required by an overseas medical student. And that's for the whole 6 years of their course. So the range of issues here is vast. What about postgraduate students? Well, the MPhil in Advanced Chemical Engineering gives you a pretty average example. The fees are 15,000 if you're a home student or 37,000 if you're an overseas student. And in either case, you have to add on maintenance of about £14,000. And it's worth noting that there is no college fee for a postgraduate student, or at least not one that the student has to pay. So an overseas student studying the MPhil in Advanced Chemical Engineering really does only have to find their tuition fee and their maintenance cost. Say only, but of course that's still £50,000. PhDs are typically much cheaper. A PhD in English, for example, the fees are 9,000 if you're a home student or 27,000 if you're an overseas student. And maintenance is around 15,000. That's more than for an MPhil. And the reason for that is, of course, PhD students have to be here all year round, not just 9 months of the year. So that's an idea of the level of fees we're talking about and the maintenance requirements. So, what sort of problems can arise? Well, if a student comes to you with a problem, then the first thing you have to do is assess, is this a genuine financial problem? So, do they really have some issue that they could not possibly address? Or are they just engaging in wishful thinking? For example, are they saying, well, actually, I would like to afford some luxuries, but I can't afford any luxuries. I can only have run-of-the-mill things like other students have to put up with. Well, that's not a genuine financial problem. Or it might be, I like to travel to London every weekend, and that costs a lot of money to stay there. So that's giving me a financial difficulty. Well, again, there are other ways of looking at that. So one of the things you're likely to have to do when a student comes to you with a financial problem is examine their budget, or more likely, actually work out a budget with them and compare it with the amount of income they've got to see where the shortfall is and whether there are ways of addressing it. I've had students come to me with who are paying, monthly mobile phone bills of £150, and we can easily cut some money off that very quickly. So sometimes there are things you can do very easily, but of course, an awful lot of problems are much more serious than that, and there's really genuinely an issue that needs to be addressed. And then the next question you should think about is it the kind of problem that the college should solve? So should your college be trying to solve it, or should you be asking the university to solve it? Or perhaps a mixture, should you be asking the university to solve it, but also making a college contribution? The university, in order to be able to help as many students as possible, needs colleges to make contributions. As an example of this, suppose that a student has very expensive accommodation, and the reason for that is because they tried to get into some of your cheap college accommodation, but unfortunately they weren't able to because the college had run out of it, or some other reason they weren't, the college wasn't able to give them the cheap accommodation. Well, that seems to me like exactly the sort of thing where a college should help, because the problem is partly caused by the college's own accommodation. So colleges should always be willing to help themselves as well as going to the university. So that's something you may need to discuss with your financial tutor or senior tutor. And a really key issue is the hardship unexpected? Or was it actually hardship that was present even before arrival? And you need to understand that. For example, some master's students turn up with a form saying that they are able to pay all of the fees and maintenance costs themselves. So they're fully self-funding, and they've signed a piece of paper for the university that says they can do that. And then they turn up in October. In November, they come to you and say, I signed that form. Well, actually, I don't think I can afford it after all. Well, in that case, that really isn't unexpected. It may have come as a surprise to them, but it doesn't come as a surprise to anybody else. So you need to work out whether they've been realistic in their planning or not. Or maybe at the other end, they could have arrived with a perfectly good plan and some disaster has befallen them while they've been here. Or maybe their family has had some kind of disaster and is no longer able to help them out. And in that case, the hardship really was unexpected and not present at the beginning. Well, that's a good case. One exception to this rule is that if a UK student has had hardship even before they arrived in Cambridge, because perhaps their family is extremely poor, the university is not going to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, your hardship isn't unexpected." If a UK student is in financial difficulty and was always going to be, the university will definitely look at it. Okay, so that's what sorts of things you need to delve into when the student turns up to see you. What can you do about it? Well, the university's got a range of hardship funds, and there's a web page listed there that is very helpful. If you click on financial assistance, you'll see all the options that are available to you. There's a university hardship fund, a postgraduate hardship fund, a thing called Crane's Charity, and the special hardship fund. And in each case, what happens is the students fill in an online application form, and then the tutor gets emailed automatically asking them to complete their section. Now, I want to emphasize that that's the order that this should happen in. Students should first come to talk to you about the problem, and you investigate. Then they should go and fill in the online application form, and then you should fill in your section. Sometimes students unfortunately fill in their part of the online application form before bothering to come to see you. And if they do that, it's no good at all, because you won't have had a chance to investigate and they won't have realised that they need to explain things like why their financial hardship is unexpected. So in those cases, you may need to ask them to go back and redo it. Let's look at all these things individually. For undergraduates, you should ask yourself, is your student eligible for a government loan or a Cambridge bursary? And if so, have they received it? So if they haven't received it, is that because they didn't apply for it? Or is it because there's some kind of holdup? Or what's going on? So it may be possible that you'll be able to resolve it yourself just by, you know, finding out what's causing the holdup and getting the extra money paid. So that's the first thing to check. Next thing, are the parents, this is for UK students, are the students' parents contributing what they're supposed to the student? Parents' income is assessed, and the reason that parents' income is assessed is because the richer ones are supposed to help their children out. It may be that parents are not helping their children out as much as they should be. And in those cases, you'll want to try to find out why. It may be that the parents can be persuaded to pay more, or it may be that they really can't be, and for some reason they refuse to contribute. And in those cases, it's not really the student's fault. So the university would be prepared to help if the situation is that the parents really can't be persuaded to pay. But unfortunately, there are some parents whose attitude is, well, we could pay, but we're not going to, because we know that if we don't, the university will pay up for us instead, so we can save some money. And so you need to address that issue. Should your student be reassessed? Now, this is to do with parental income again. Sometimes parental income changes massively during the year. For example, maybe the parents have income of £60,000, but one of them gets made redundant in the middle of the academic year and their income drops to £20,000, and suddenly they're not able to supply as much money as they were before. Well, that's the kind of situation where your student should go back to student finance and say, could you reassess me? There's a thing called a current year reassessment, where the parents' new income can be taken into account, and then they retrospectively get given larger loans and a larger Cambridge bursary. So you may need to do that if the parents have run into hardship during the academic year. Final thing to ask undergraduates is about work. Some students work part-time while they're at Cambridge to try and make ends meet. They're not allowed to do that, but they may be doing it anyway. If you discover that one of your students is actually working to make ends meet, then that's a really clear sign that they are in serious financial difficulty. So you should definitely be addressing that. So undergraduates can apply to the Undergraduate Hardship Fund, which is for all undergraduate students, and that includes clinical medical students. There's a deadline in the middle of each term, and the maximum grant is £2,000. So what about postgraduates? Well, as I said earlier, you have to ask whether the hardship is really unexpected or not. Did they realise, or should they have realised, before they arrived in Cambridge they weren't going to be able to afford it? And another issue is that you probably need to approach the funding sponsor. If there's a really good hardship case, then the funding sponsor, let's say the doctoral training program or the Cambridge Trust, may be willing to help out. So you need to ask them to look into the situation before you go to the university to ask it to help out. So they can apply to the Postgraduate Hardship Fund, which is for all postgraduate students, but not clinical medics. There's a deadline in the middle of each term again, and the maximum grant is £2,000 again. Then there's Crane's Charity, which is very specialised. That's just for medical cases. And it can award up to £1,800. Typically, it gives money when a student's got a medical problem, but where waiting for the NHS to actually deal with it would take far too long. And so it can give money towards private healthcare to try and resolve medical cases much more quickly. And given that students are only here for 3 years as an undergraduate, that can obviously be very helpful sometimes. It's open to both undergraduates and postgraduates. And then there's this thing called the Special Hardship Fund, which is a bit of an odd name. The reason for the odd name is that the purposes of the fund keep changing. So it's specially designed to help out with hardship in particular cases that are current issues. So at the moment, it's only for students who are intermitting, so actually not in Cambridge. But just for the moment in 2022, who knows how long this will carry on being the case. It's also available for students who are on a year abroad, so that's modern languages students on a year abroad, or for students who have been impacted financially by the war in Ukraine. So, for example, Ukrainian students who have suffered from the fact that the exchange rate has dropped. But these purposes, as I say, can change from year to year, depending on what the Special Hardship Fund is particularly looking out for that year. Other hardship options, well, there's government disabled students allowances for UK students who are disabled, and also some specialist funds that the Disability Resource Centre can advise you about. There's the Child Care Bursary Scheme for students who have children of their own. There's the Sheikh Family Bursaries, which is for Muslim students who are unable to take out normal government loans. There's also a Student Hardship Loan Fund, which is an unusual fund. It gives loans, as the name implies, and they can be very large. So it's suitable for students for whom £2,000 won't cut it, but maybe £5,000 would be sufficient. Students have to demonstrate that they are going to be able to repay the loan over the course of the next few years. So typically they might do that by saying, well, I can't afford my fees just at the moment, but as soon as I graduate, I have a job offer and I'll be able to repay you. So that's a sort of situation where the loan fund might be useful, and it can make quite large awards, as I say, so thousands of pounds. And very generously, the loan fund is interest-free, which actually makes it another option for Muslim students because it's not interest-bearing. Okay, well, that's the end of my presentation. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you think that that's been useful, and good luck trying to solve students' financial problems when they come to see you. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.